This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithfulness bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at www.botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. You can find me on Instagram now at botfpodcast. And if this episode causes you to ask for any resources or you just want to reach out for any reason, you can always email me, Jenna@botfpodcast.com. And today I'm really excited to be with Julie Perito. And this is a really random story that I saw that she was going to have a podcast interview and it got canceled or just rescheduled and never got rescheduled. And something just told me that God wanted me to ask her to talk about some scripture stuff and raising our children in the word in that way. And I thought it was just a really good thing to add to this motherhood series that I hadn't thought of before. You would think that someone would think about scripture with talking about motherhood, but you know, so God reminded me that that was important by seeing her post, and we've gotten to talk and we have a lot in common. We actually went to the same school at the same time in college, which is really random. So all of these cool things that God is doing through this, I'm really excited to see what she has to say. So Julie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your becoming a mom story?
Yeah, sure. So I have four kids. They are currently 8, 7, 5, almost 6, and 1. So we had our first 3 kids in less than 3 years. So that was very insane. I loved it, but looking back, it was a lot. Yeah, our oldest 2 boys are 18 months apart, and then numbers 2 and 3 are 17 months apart. And then just due to having so many so close together and some different health issues, we have a 4-year gap between our 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, I'm just trying to picture that age range. My oldest 2 are 22 months apart, and that was just crazy enough, let alone having 3. So did you have 3 3 and under at that point, right?
We did. So we have about 3 weeks in the year where their ages are all 1 year apart. So we're soon to have 8, 7, and 6-year-olds for 3 weeks before my 8-year-old will turn 9. So there's about 3 weeks where all their ages are super close. And we had a conversation when my boys were super little about like, let's wait longer. That's really crazy right now. And little did we know, I was already pregnant with our 3rd. So that didn't happen. God had different plans, but it was crazy. It was intense. It was fun. Yeah, it was crazy and awesome all at the same time. But yeah, we live to tell the tale.
I'll be in a similar boat with my youngest right now. She'll be about 2.5 when the twins come. So it'll be a similar, but at the other end of the spectrum. So I feel like it'd be harder to start off with them so close versus at the end.
Right. Yeah, because you're already kind of a seasoned mom a little bit to some degree. But I learned a lot of lessons those early years of like not trying to do all the things and not trying to be super mom. And yeah, it was a big learning curve for me. A lot of spiritual lessons in those early years, for sure.
I think we all struggle with the trying not to be super mom. I don't know if it's our culture that makes us feel like we have to be, or if that's just an innate motherhood drive, is to be everything for everyone at all times. But I feel like that's one of the biggest struggles that every mom goes through. So one of your big passions is passing on scripture down to your kids and to really make that part of their life and almost inherent to their character. So what inspired that passion?
Yeah, so I had a really good Christian upbringing as far as Christian education. I was always going to church, and I just through that education, I learned a lot of scripture along the way. And it's just been so crucial in my life to know God's word. God's word is sufficient for life and godliness. It gives us wisdom for life. So seeing just how crucial it is, I wanted my children to know it as well so that they could live a life pleasing to the Lord, because they're not going to know how to live for him if they don't know his word.
So you have younger kids, which I'm sure is kind of challenging for them to make those connections and understand. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you face in getting your kids to connect with something that is maybe a little bit above their understanding?
Yeah, I think kids are naturally selfish, which we all are, to be honest. But kids, especially American kids, I think that are pretty privileged and whatnot. They, if they see a problem, they want it fixed. Like if they can't play with a friend, they want to be able to play with their friend. Or if, you know, if a sibling's annoying them, they just want that to stop. They just, you know, they want their life to be easy and comfortable. And so because they're naturally selfish, they don't on their own make those connections to scripture. So if we do devotion in the morning and talk about, I don't know, showing patience to somebody, they're not gonna on their own think, oh, I should be patient with my sibling right now while they're really annoying me. That's not something that kids do. So the challenge is, as their mom, I need to make those connections for them. So it's an ongoing process of weaving God's word throughout the day and finding those moments to connect them with scripture. So like, for example, we've memorized in Proverbs that thoughtless words cut like a sword, but the tongue of the wise person brings healing. So when we first learned this verse, I would say, what happens when you say thoughtless words to someone? And they would say, oh, it makes someone sad, or they just don't like it. And I said, no, like this verse says thoughtless words cut like a sword. It hurts that person's heart. And so when I catch them now saying mean things to each other, it's reminding them, what do thoughtless words say? Cut like a sword. And sometimes, you know, we have to go over things over and over and over. But eventually, hopefully, the goal is that they'll on their own make that connection that they don't want to say thoughtless words because they don't want to hurt their friend or their sibling. And it's not like beating them over the head with a Bible to try to make them feel guilty, but more coming alongside of them. Like I'll often tell them that I'm on your team. So maybe for my oldest, Calvin, I'll say, I'm on team Calvin. I love you. I want to help you. And so this is why I'm teaching you this, or this is why I'm disciplining you. And just letting them know that like I am for them and I'm trying to help them and making these connections for them. I'm not trying to be annoying. But yeah, so it's not just like doing devotions once to check it off your list, but finding those opportunities to weave God's word throughout the day.
And I think it's important to remember that, especially with kids, but even adults, I relate very much to that selfish, I want life to be comfortable and to go the way I want it and to have resolution right now. I really struggle with that now as an adult, you know, so I can see why that's a hard thing for kids. But just kind of making that do it over and over again, it ingrains it. And it actually, they're finding scientifically that when you repeat things like that, it actually changes the pathways in your brain, the neural pathways. So it affects the way you think about stuff. So that's something really cool that I don't know. I've heard a lot of this in the psychology world and the neuropsychology world, but I haven't thought about it with scripture. If you're repeating scripture over and over again, it's going to affect the way that your brain makes connections between things. And so that is kind of a really cool thought.
It's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. And I have seen not a lot, but there are times when they will make those connections on their own. And so that's really encouraging. And another thing I try to do too is just being honest with them where I'm at in my life, obviously not sharing my adult problems with them to the full extent, but just like if, you know, somebody was hurtful to me and I need to forgive them and I need to try not to let bitterness take root, or if I'm struggling with being harsh or something like that, something that they can relate to, letting them know that like, hey, I struggle too. It's not me always just talking to you about this, like this is for me too, and showing them that I need God's word just as much as they do. And I think when kids see that, it helps it make it more real to them, knowing that we all need God's word. It's not mommy and daddy coming down on me to point out my faults all the time. Like this is something that is life-giving for all of us. Do you feel like you found that like in your parenting journey too?
They definitely are starting to get to the point where they realize it's not just the managing behavior anymore. It's starting to turn into, obviously, I can't change their heart or make their choices for them, which is hard for me because I don't want them to make those bad choices. But they're getting, my oldest two are getting to the stage now where they're starting to say, oh, well, do you deal with this or do you have issues with this? And I feel like the natural thing is to try to tell them like, no, I've got it all figured out. It'll be great when you're an adult. But it makes me think of Frozen. I don't know if you've seen Frozen 2, but Olaf sings a song, things will all make sense when I get older. And I don't want my kids to have that expectation that when you're an adult, everything's going to be fine and great and you'll have it all figured out. Or to believe that mom and dad are perfect. And then as they get older and realize, oh, we're not, which they, I'm pretty sure they're well aware that I am not perfect at this point in time. But it kind of gives them confidence to know that it's okay to not have it all figured out. But it also had the idea, as you were talking, it kind of reminds me that it kind of makes them little accountability partners in that sense, that you need to kind of practice what you preach to them as well. And that helps motivate yourself to keep up with it too.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I do ask them to pray for me, to pray for specific things. And yeah, like what you were saying with not thinking that adults have it all together. I feel like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think when I was a kid, to some degree, I did think that. And then I became an adult and it's like, oh no, adults don't have a clue half the time. We're still just trying to figure it out. So yeah, I think, like you said, it just helps them to see we need God just as much as they do. This is not, you figure it out when you're a kid and then you're good for life. Like, we're going to be doing this our whole lives. I don't know if that's encouraging to them or discouraging, but it is what it is.
It really is encouraging, but it's not necessarily what you want to hear. Have you had any experiences that you've seen those aha moments where your kids are kind of making those connections, or any stories of how you see the Word of God really becoming part of how they think or see the world?
Yes, I have. And I'm really thankful for that, because I think anybody with kids, I mean, my oldest is 8, so I'm not super far into the journey to speak for teenage kids or older kids. But as far as the ages where my kids are at, I think anyone with kids knows that, like I already said, you have to repeat a lot, and it's going to take a while to see some fruit. So when I do see that fruit, I'm really thankful for that. So yeah, so I've had my oldest, he's like super into the book of Revelation, which is kind of cool. So he'll like just grab his Bible and read it on his own. One day he was like set on reading through the Bible. So he read like half of Genesis before bed, which was awesome. Or they'll make like little books where like we staple paper together and they'll write their favorite verses in those books. Or sometimes, honestly, this hasn't happened a lot, but there's been times when they've said to me, like, I think you're getting frustrated, Mommy. You should go pray, or you should go read your Bible. Because I've said that to them so many times. So then they see, oh, like, Mommy needs to hear this right now. Or sometimes they'll come to me to apologize for sin. Again, this is not super often, but I get these glimpses where it's like, oh, they're getting it. This is not completely going in one ear and out the other. And so, yeah, that's really encouraging. Or sometimes they share a room and sometimes I'll overhear them talking about God and different aspects of faith before bed, which is so sweet to hear. And so I'm just super thankful when God gives me those glimpses into their hearts, because all the work isn't for nothing. It's not my job, obviously, to make them believe. I'm not in control of that, but He can use what I do to work in their hearts. And when I see that, it's so rewarding.
I'm just thinking back to, I don't know if I would handle it well if my children told me to go read the Bible because I'm frustrated.
No, it's so encouraging, because it's like, well, it is humbling. I will say, yeah, it's humbling. But at the same time, it's like, I'm glad you see that that's what I need right now. You know, like they see that that's where I need to go. And that's the goal in all of this, is going back to the Lord for everything, whether we're happy or sad or frustrated. And His word is sufficient for everything. And for them to pick up on that is super encouraging. So I hope that at some point your kids tell you to go pray when you're frustrated. It will be, yeah, encouraging, even though you might be kicking yourself for letting your frustration show as much. But again, it's just, I need God as much as you do. I am not going to be perfect, you know, and owning that. So yeah, so it's good for them to see us mess up sometimes.
And a lot of what you're saying kind of reminds me of, I was a nursing student at Cedarville, and there was so much of all of the classes before we went into clinicals that you're sitting there and you're just cramming information and you're memorizing all the facts about different drug families or anatomy or whatever. And it doesn't all make sense until you actually go out and do it. And it brings things to light and connects things in different ways. So I think when we're teaching young kids, like Julie and I have, we have younger kids. When you're teaching them the stuff, you're putting in the seeds and you're building the foundations, and they'll be able to come back to know what they have learned as a kid and see how that connects to the world as they get older and get more exposed to different things and practice real life situations where things like Psalms make sense and Proverbs, even though they've heard it all their life, they'll understand, oh, this really is the better option or whatever. So I think that that can be an encouragement too, is that you're kind of building the foundation, even though you don't necessarily know how that will look in the future until they get to that point.
Right, Yeah, definitely. Yeah, to that point, I did probably the thing that sticks out the most to me of when my kids made that connection with God is, like you're saying, going to Psalms when you need it. I had one of my kids get really upset. This was probably like a year ago. And I'm just like stomping out of the house and discipline and just kind of the whole thing. And I end up finding him later on curled up with his Bible when he was upset and when he was frustrated. And I don't even remember what was going on that he was upset about or that he was getting disciplined for, but he went to his Bible. And again, it's not like this happens often. We're not the perfect family by any means, but it's those glimpses, just seeing that I told him that so many times, let's go to the Bible. And then he did that on his own. Like you said, hopefully as they get older, it's the seeds that were planted. And, you know, maybe it'll just happen a few times in the younger years. And then as they get older, hopefully, Lord willing, more and more, they'll see that God is who they should go to.
So what tips do you have? Because obviously something's going right if your kids are going to the Bible when they're frustrated. So all of that. What, say someone is just not sure where to start? Let's look at different age groups. So for a toddler, if someone's got a toddler, what is a good place to start in exposing them to scripture and starting to build into that way?
When my kids were toddlers, we did two main things. One was songs. So I don't know if you've heard of Seeds Family Worship. Have you heard of them?
Yes, we love them.
Okay, yes. So we would listen to those. So for people who don't know, they take scripture and put it to song. And it's super fun and kid friendly. So we would listen. We still listen to those in the car sometimes. But especially when they were younger, we'd listen to those in the car or while they're having a snack. Or we would just say Bible verses. Like anytime you can attach a habit to something you already do, I have found it seems like that is a really good place to start. Like, so for example, maybe every time you give your kid a bath, you say the same Bible verse. Or every time you're getting them dressed for bed, you say a Bible verse, and that will be a good way for you to remember, oh, at this time is when I do this. So we did that. So we did say Bible verses like during bath time or just kind of as we were going about our day, and then the Seeds Family Worship when we were in the car. And then I also had a book which was really great called God's Wisdom for Little Boys. It's by Elizabeth George. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, so they have a little boy version and a little girl version. And we had the little boy version when, so my oldest two are boys. So when my oldest was very young, maybe like 18 months, I would go through this book with him, and it takes character traits. So like it talks about how God's little boy is helpful or God's little boy is kind. And then it will have like a short poem and a Bible verse, just very simple for young kids. And so anyway, so one of these was God's little boy is obedient. The verse that went with it is the son who obeys what he has been taught shows he is smart. And it's a verse in Proverbs. I can't remember the reference. So every time I would discipline my, however old he was, 18-month-old, I would sit him down on a chair when he would disobey me. And I would say to him, the son who obeys what he has been taught shows he's smart. And I would tap my head when I say smart. When I would say smart, we did this so many times that I would sit him down to discipline him. And before I could even get the verse out, he would start tapping his little head with his chubby little finger because he knew I was going to go over this verse with him. And honestly, that's something that we still use. If my kids are at a friend's house or somewhere where I can't go up and talk to them or pull them aside, I'll just tap my head, and that tells them like, oh, I need to wise up and stop doing whatever I'm doing. So that has worked really well for us. And that book, yeah, was a great starting place when they were toddlers.
And I'll put the link to that, the Amazon link, in show notes for anyone who wants to go, or if they're like me and they're listening to this in the car and they can't write things down, it'll be in the show notes if you want to go back and try to find these books as well. So you survived toddlerhood for three of your kids and you moved on to preschool years. So what have you done in their preschool time that helped build up with that?
When they were preschoolers, I remember very vividly, I would sit them all down on the couch. They were 2, 3, and 4, preschool to toddler age. Sometimes I would read through the Bible or you know, small sections of the Bible or do a kid's Bible. But I just remember saying to them, like, you need to sit still and you need, you know, all the things that you would expect of trying to teach preschoolers. I think it was good in some ways that I would push through. But then in other ways, looking back, I think I needed to give myself a little more grace to be like, you know what? Just take a break today. Yeah, I think the thing that worked the best with us during those years was we really like Kids Read Truth art journals. Have you done any of their products?
No, I've never heard of them.
So this is another one. Kids Read Truth. I've loved everything we've gotten from them. We use their stuff. They even have stuff up to like teenagers, I believe. But probably starting like like that preschool age, like 4, 5, 6, they have some art journals that are super fun. And so instead of being like me and trying to make my children sit still to listen to the Bible, this is like another thing that we ended up using that I think went better. So they would have a verse and then you could draw a picture or do like a puzzle. They just had different activities in it where it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to sit and do with your kids and you're soaking up God's word. So that is something that also that we liked during that age. Yeah. So Bible reading as much as we could. And then the kids read truth journals. I didn't do a whole lot of kids' Bibles, a little bit here and there. But what about you? Do you have any kids' Bibles that you like for your kind of preschool age?
That's funny because I was just getting ready to ask you the same question if you had any. I have a couple that we go through. We have the Laugh and Learn one. It's by Phil Vischer, who did VeggieTales. So he just came up with one last year that came out at Christmas time. So we have those. And then a friend just gave us one that's the Friendship Bible, which kind of talks about it from the character, you know what I mean? The people in the Bible, their first person perspective, and kind of digs into more of not just what's the story, but what's the heart behind the story. So I've liked that. And then, you know, a couple of others that are, they're definitely getting to the point where I'm like, we need to get a little more meat into what we're reading with the story. We also have the YouVersion Kids Bible app, which they like because it's visual. My kids are very visual, and so they really enjoy seeing pictures that go along with the story because it helps them connect it. The pictures move and they're interactive and stuff like that. But I do love the idea of just, so you just went straight to the Bible. You didn't ever have any of the kids stuff in between?
I did. Yeah. So we do have some kids stuff that we have done kind of here and there. But yeah, I would say a lot of the time it was just like I would read through different books, like small sections of it at a time. I think both are probably fine, but that's just what I did just because, again, to get God's word in their hearts. And I know that they would get like Bible stories and that kind of thing at church, which that's, you know, Bible stories are great, but the actual scripture to help them with the life and godliness was really important to me. So yeah, we just kind of, again, we did some of the preschool Bibles and stuff here and there, but for sure we kind of jumped right into the full Bible too. So yeah, I think both are a mixture. Wherever your kids are at, you probably can't go wrong, but that's what we did.
And I think it just depends on developmental stage of your kids. Like my oldest is at the same stage as my 5-year-old. So my 5-year-old's a little ahead, my 7-year-old's a little behind. And so now they're getting to that point where they can really sit down and focus on the true word of God. Not that we haven't done that, like you said, seeds, family worship, and different Bible verses that I've had them, depending on which. I have one kid that struggles more with lying and one kid that just struggles with defiance. Like, you know, one doesn't want to get in trouble and is usually more of my black and white kid, and the other one, he'll tell you that he did it and he doesn't really care, you know, like just dealing with that kind of stuff. So we have different verses that kind of fit the personalities or the specific needs of each one that I've had them memorize. And song really does seem to be, my family is very musical in general, so I don't know if this is normal for all other families or whatever, but my kids definitely latch onto things more when there's a melody or music related to it and they can sing along, and it sticks better for them than if I just made them memorize something.
Yeah, we like song too. And then also motions seem to help as well.
And random thought just came into my mind, and I don't know if this will kind of fit even with babies and stuff. If you guys have heard of the podcast called Raising Christian Kids by Leanne Mancini, she is a friend of mine through the podcasting community stuff, and she even talked about with babies. So we haven't even talked about babies, but she talked about with babies how they've found, I don't know where the studies are or where she got this idea. There must have been a study at some point that they did this. But when you're doing stuff with babies, like when you're nursing babies or cuddling babies or providing emotional needs, when you talk about Jesus at that time, they start connecting the name Jesus to the times that their emotional needs have been met, which I thought was pretty cool too. So if you have babies and you're just getting started and all of that stuff, and you're trying to think like, well, this doesn't apply to me or what, or to the stage of life, if you even start connecting those moments where you're nurturing and reminding them that Jesus loves you and that kind of stuff that they've found, or she suggests at this point, I don't remember where she found this information, that can be a really good start to this as well. So sorry, we jumped from preschool back to babies. And now we're going to jump up to elementary school, which is where your kids are now, where they're able to, it sounds like they're able to read on their own and some of that. So what are you doing now with those older kids?
Yeah. So my 8-year-old, he can read really well. So he is doing the Purpose-Driven Life for Kids for part of his like devotion time. So they have a list of like responsibilities, chores that they need to do in the morning. And one of the things that they're supposed to do, in addition to like, you know, breakfast and brush teeth, is to do devotions, kind of personal devotions, because I want them, this is their relationship with God. I want them to start branching out on their own to some extent. So he is reading through the Purpose-Driven Life for Kids. Sometimes he reads his Bible. And he also just started a Revelation study with my husband. I'm not sure of the name of that. I can get that to you, that I guess he seems to like. So one of those things he'll do in the morning. For my other two who are not quite reading yet, now in the slower summer months, I am sitting down with them, because before they would go and do their devotions, but it was probably just like a one sentence prayer. I don't even know exactly what all they were doing. I told them what to do, but I wasn't there supervising them. So now I'm sitting down with them to kind of guide them through like, okay, you read this, and they read it to the best as best as they can, and then talk about how whatever this verse said, you can pray that back to God. So God, thank you for being the king, or whatever it is that they just read. So I'm kind of guiding them through what exactly those personal devotions look like for the middle two. And then we also do family devotions together. We typically will study either a devotional book or read from the Bible, memorize scripture, sing some songs, and then pray together. So there's kind of like a family time, and then also teaching them to do their own personal time.
Well, it sounds to me like you guys are doing a pretty good job.
Oh, thanks. I really have enjoyed, especially I think this last year, it seems like we're getting the groove of like the family devotion. So if you have preschoolers right now or toddlers right now, and you're in the stage where you're trying to make them all sit on the couch so you can read something for 5 minutes, like I was several years ago, just be encouraged, because now as early elementary kids, you know, we all sit down and enjoy studying God's word together. And, you know, they have their favorite songs that they want to sing. And it is one of my favorite times of the day. So keep on keeping on, because it will come. And now actually, now that we have a toddler in the mix again, sometimes he's kind of the wrench in the plans and we have to readjust what we're doing. But for the most part, it does go pretty well.
So what encouragement would you give to moms who say they're at the elementary stage, they have not built or started as early, even to the extent that you did? What advice would you give to someone with elementary school kids that are just now starting to try to start building these foundations?
I would say two things. One, find something that you can do every day, whether it's like family devotions like we do, or you read a chapter before bed, or you memorize scripture during breakfast, something that every day you're like you said earlier, you're planting those seeds to get them in the word and to get it in their heart. And then also, like I said earlier, trying to find those opportunities to weave whatever you're learning throughout the day. So not just do it, check it off the list and be done, but showing them how this is useful for life, how you use what you've learned to glorify God now in the rest of your day. And also, like I said earlier too, just being honest that you need God just as much as they do. So don't be afraid to, you know, point out some of your struggles or ask for forgiveness from your kids, because that's important for them to see too. So yeah, two things: find something you do every day, and then also finding opportunities to weave that throughout the day.
And I will say, you've talked about grace to yourself a lot. And I think that's something moms need to do. So if you're out there and your kids are older and you're wanting to start this now, don't be discouraged that it's starting later. Don't think it's too late to start or anything like that either. So I want to make sure that you can be encouraged by the resources that Julie is giving, and to know that, first of all, give yourself grace when it's not perfect. Like she said, there are days where you need to step back and do it, not necessarily see it as like a task that you need to check off, but just start where you're at, and God will always bless that no matter what stage of parenting you're in.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that for sure. Yeah, even now there are days when the morning's going badly, so I just like go off and pray on my own in lieu of doing devotions, or maybe we just sing songs that day because that's what's best for us instead of trying to push through. So yes, definitely understanding that you're a human too. You're not always going to be super mom, no No one's super mom. Thanks for saying that. It's definitely God will use whatever you do. And there's a lot of grace on his end. It's all going to be from him anyways. So don't stress yourself out if you can't do it that day.
So the theme of my podcast is faithfulness, hence it's in the title. By that, I've learned that I need to personally understand two different aspects of the word faithfulness. And the first one is understanding what is God's faithfulness and why do I trust it? So in your journey of raising kids and trying to build that foundation and all of the mess of the world, all of that intersecting into one spot, how has God proven that he is faithful to you personally?
That's a great question. I think when I started out as a mom, I had this vision of I'm going to be super mom and I was going to do all the things. And when you have three kids in less than 3 years, you can't keep that up for very long. So during especially those really young years and as they got more to preschool age, God just really showed me how much I need him and how much this is about his work in their lives, that I'm not going to be the one to manufacture things, be it spiritual or anything else, that this is, they're his children, they're not mine, and just kind of loosening my expectations for myself. And I feel like as he's done that, he's just been faithful to show me, like I said earlier, how he is working in my kids' lives through the little glimpses that I see in seeing them make connections to God's word. And if I wouldn't have loosened those reins all those years ago, maybe I would think that, oh, it's all because of me or it's because of these things that I did. But no, it's really about him. So I'm just really thankful that he showed me that I need to lower my expectations for myself, realize how great he is, and that he will be faithful throughout this journey when I lean on him.
I love that. And talking about loosening of the reins, it's kind of your own action to God's faithfulness. And it kind of moves us on to the next point, is that God asks us to be faithful to him. And that does not mean that his faithfulness in any way, shape, or form depends on us being faithful to him, because he's still going to be faithful no matter where we stand or what we do or the choices that we make. But in what ways in your motherhood have you worked on trying to, honestly, teaching your kids the word, I think, is a huge step in this direction. But what other things have you done as a mom to show your obedience and your faithfulness to God?
With young kids, especially, I mean, probably any age kids, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel like I already taught you this, or to feel like, have you caught on to nothing that I've taught you? Is it going in one ear and out the other? But trusting that God is using, like you said earlier, those seeds that we planted, that's my job. I don't know how they're going to turn out. I don't know if they're going to follow the Lord into adulthood. You know, obviously that's my hope. But when I feel discouraged, when I don't see the fruit that I hope to be there, just trusting that my job is to be faithful today, is to point them to God again, even if it feels like the millionth time, and just trusting that God will use that seed, that he'll work in their heart. It's his grace that will work in their heart to hopefully grow a deep love for him. And so my job is just to continue to plant those seeds. And sometimes it's going to be discouraging, and sometimes you maybe need to take a break that day or whatever. But just trusting that my job is to be obedient and faithful to God in this journey, and praying that he uses it and makes them have hearts that love him.
And I think that kind of brings it back full circle to where God shows his faithfulness to us. We respond to that with our own faithfulness, even though it's limited. And then God takes that and builds into it and proves his faithfulness even more through the stuff that we give to him. So I love how you kind of showed that full circle that happens with that. So before we get to your verse that you've picked to close out, I know you have some dreams and some projects that you've got going on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's the future for you? And then how do people get a hold of you? Where would they find you?
Sure. Well, they could find me on Instagram at Julie Perido. That's probably the best way to connect with me. And then, so the project is I am writing a book, which is a scripture memory and application book. long story short, I had this idea for a book for about a year. And I kept thinking, like, that would be a really great book. Somebody should make that book. I couldn't find it anywhere. I know you're not supposed to say that when you're writing a book, that there's nothing else like it, but there really is nothing else like this. So finally, about 6 months ago, I felt like God saying, okay, you need to be the one to make this. So what it is it uses drawing as a scripture memory tool, and it takes visual verses. So for example, Psalm 42:1, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. There will be an illustration of a deer, and then there will be instructions to add to the illustration. So they'll add some water, and they'll add different animals and plants. And so by the end of their drawing, they will have a visual representation of the verse. And as I was doing research for the book, I actually found that drawing is the best memorization tool, which I didn't even know before starting to write this book. But there's some research done recently where they tried different memorization techniques, and drawing always came out on top. So there will be 24 verses. So they'll be drawing 24 verses. There will be gospel-centered scripture. There will be gospel-centered application and explanation of each verse. And it's for parent and child to go through together.
I love that. And just to maybe prove your point, this is super random and not related, but when I was in high school, my English teacher, with our vocab words, would make us make flashcards that had pictures that we drew ourselves to go with the word. And I still remember the pictures that went with my vocab words from like freshman and sophomore year of high school. So that kind of proves your point. I can totally see where that would be really helpful in that. And plus, like, it's connecting the two different parts of your brain. That's really cool. I'm excited. I can't wait till it comes out, because I'm definitely going to be checking it out too. When that does come out, let me know, and we will put that on Instagram and Facebook for people to see, and we'll just highlight it there too when it comes out. That's really cool. All right. So you have picked Psalm 92:14-15, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Why did you pick that?
Oh, I just love these verses, and they go right along with your podcast about faithfulness, because it talks about the anthem of the righteous as they grow old, how to remain faithful to the Lord. It's just so encouraging to me, because it helps me to look long term. Like, if I'm going to be faithful to God for my whole life, these are the verses that will encourage me to get there. I can't remember how I came upon them. I guess just in Bible reading or something, but it's been a couple of years that I've really been holding on to these verses.
Are there any parting words or advice you would love to give before we close out?
Yeah, I would just say, remain faithful to the Lord. Trust Him. He is faithful. He is a good God. With your children, He wants what's best for them even more than you do. So just continue to point them to the Lord, teach them about Him, and He'll be faithful to you. He'll use the seeds that you're planting to hopefully turn their hearts towards Him. So yes, just love the Lord. He's good. He can be trusted.
Psalm 92:14-15. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in Him."
This has been episode 54 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled Planting Scripture with Young Children with Julie Perido. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/54. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.